Well, good morning. How y'all doing? Yay, me too. Praise the Lord. You really don't want to see what's underneath this. I have a green one and green shoes on order for the next liturgical season. I'm just saying. We're going to have fun with this. This passage comes toward the end of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And Ephesus was a Roman city. And the people there were pretty familiar with Roman soldiers coming and going. Visited Ephesus a couple of years ago and found it fascinating. It once upon a time was a port city, but over time, the waters kind of receded from the city. So now you have to travel a couple of miles in order to get to the city itself. It's very interesting. And when you look back toward the Mediterranean, you can see this sort of verdant valley that is where the water once was, and now it's just green. It's beautiful. But it was a Roman city. And Paul, at this point, was in chains. In other words, he was under arrest. And things did not look so good. Yet and still, he had a faith that persevered. Toward the end of this particular passage, he actually asks people to pray for him. Pray also for me, he says, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Now, he's in chains, mind you. He's in jail. And he still has this incredible sense of expectation for what God is going to do with him. Let me back up a little bit to give a kind of sense of the world as it was then. Not only was it Roman, but there was this sense that evil spirits were everywhere. Now, I think most of us have kind of given up on that idea. We're so, you know, urbane these days. We're so with it that this whole idea of evil in the world, we kind of laugh at. I wouldn't laugh too quick. Let me read the beginning of this passage once more. Our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I get a little bit frightened. You mean that's what we're up against? Sounds daunting, doesn't it? But the author of Ephesians has another word. He has another word. See, I'm not so sure that in today's world there is not evil present. How about you? Amen. Yeah? Sometimes you almost see it on TV at night. And there are times when we see the news and you can tell that there is an evil spirit at work in the world. Even just overnight, or yesterday, the whole incident on the train in Belgium, in France, yeah. You wonder sometimes. The fact that there are nuclear weapons throughout the world in not so good hands, really, and whose hands are good, that could easily wipe the human race off the face of the earth, and every animal and living piece of vegetation. There is still evil in the world. But this writer has a word. And he uses kind of a combination of images. And let me just talk about that for a minute. The people to whom he was writing would have been certainly very familiar with Roman soldiers. But they would also undoubtedly have been very familiar with their own scripture. And the kind of imagery that the author uses here not only reminds folks of their present moment, but of what God has done for them through the years. And let me, using one of the commentators on this passage, read through this. Because in people's minds, as they would read what Paul wrote, they would have heard the words of Isaiah. In fact, I would recommend that you read Isaiah, because it's and Jeremiah both are incredible. Here's what one commentator says. Since the writer refers to pieces of armor used by soldiers of that day, it would be natural to interpret the passage mainly on the basis of the military significance of each piece. While that would be instructive, the more important point of reference is the Old Testament book of Isaiah. There, the various pieces are part of the armor of God, God's self, actually aspects of God's character. Hear from Isaiah 11. But with righteousness, God will judge the needy. With justice, God will give decisions for the poor of the earth. God will strike the earth with the rod of God's mouth, with the breath of God's lips. The wicked will be slain, and righteousness will be God's belt. Sound familiar? From Isaiah 59. God put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on God's head, put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. And then from the 52nd chapter, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Do you see the connection between the outfit that the Romans are wearing and what it is said that God is clothed in? And the connection here is this. We're not to clothe ourselves as Roman soldiers, although some of you might think that might be fun. No. Maybe images of medieval warriors dressed in all of that silver or steel stuff come to mind. No. Here are the things that we are to find ourselves clothed in. Truth. Righteousness. Peace. Faith. Salvation. And then the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Those are, you know, not breastplates and shoes and hats and sandals and girdles and, I mean, yeah. But no, they are to point beyond those things to something more. To truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the Spirit which is the Word of God. So how do we do that? I will go back and use a Roman metaphor. Now, when I was growing up, I was shy. I really still am in some ways. I'm an introvert. You know, I'm very much an introvert. But I read a lot. You know, it was my escape. Anybody else? You know, escape into reading? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And I learned a lot through reading. And one of the things that I love to read for some unknown reason were Greek and Roman mythology. I don't know. It was like putting yourself into a different world somehow, you know? I loved biographies. I loved autobiographies, too. I just loved all that stuff. Well, there's some things that I did learn about the Romans. If you have watched some of those movies, you can kind of get a sense of how the Roman armies moved. And when it came time for them to come into battle, they formed into blocks, right? You know? And there were people on the edges and then lots of soldiers on the inside. Now, if you look at all of the things with which the Romans were clothed, there's something missing. There's nothing on their back. It's all stuff in the front. And so the reason that they came in the order in which they came was because that's where their protection was. Their protection. If they turned and ran, they were in trouble. Because there was nothing protecting them on their backside. Not really. And it was when they moved together that they were able to be successful. When they moved together. The same is true, I believe, of the church. And I think that that's what the writer, one of the things the writer was trying to say here. As much as each of us think that it's up to us, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, you know, I'm going to get truth. I'm going to get righteousness. I'm going to get peace. I'm going to get all this stuff, and it's going to fill me up, and I'm going to be ready to fight the world. No. It's about all of us together making it possible for these kinds of things to happen. Because I really believe that some people do have the gift of truth, where other people have the gift of righteousness. And some people have the gift of peace, and others the gift of faith. Just this last week, I have been encouraged by two people. One was early in the week. Well, it might have been last week, but... And that was the... To look back at the witness of Julian Bond, who I had the opportunity to be on a plane with once and was like, ooh, wow. And then I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to actually sit next to him at a dinner. What a man. So centered, so clear about his place in the world. And also very clear, because even then and even until recently, he sought to teach others. He sought to teach others. And I can't, for some reason, get him out of my mind. I lift his memory up as a blessing. And the other is someone already mentioned today, Jimmy Carter. I don't know about you, but there seem to be people surprised about how he's handling his diagnosis. You know, are you surprised?
No.
Oh, no. I'm not surprised at all. Because he's a man of deep faith. Of deep faith. And as he said, you know, I've lived a fabulous life. Wow. Both of those men have spent their lives in the company of others who built up their faith. built them up. And that's what the church is about. That we don't do this by ourselves, but we are in it together. One commentator said this: ultimately, it wasn't the armor that saved the Roman soldiers in battle. It was his connection to the unit. It was his connection to the unit. And that's why church is so important. That's why it's important for you to see others in your life who need the community of faith. It's why it's important for us to be here when someone like T. Nixon needs us. The full armor of God is present in the room. Maybe not all in on one person, but when you add it all up, it's here. And we are here for one another. May we find ourselves blessed on our journeys. Would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise this day that it's not all up to any single one of us, but that you give your gifts in multitude ways. And we find ourselves strengthened as we hear the stories of one another. And we find ourselves encouraged to share courage with others. We know that there is still evil in the world. As much as we would sometimes like to deny it, every now and then you see it full in the face. And yet, and still, you have given gifts to your people to stand before what the author says are the wiles of the devil. So may we stand firm with one another to face whatever the world might bring, knowing that our salvation and our fate is in your hands, and we can trust you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.